ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदाह्यं ददाति स्वपदाङ्कितं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीचितापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं साधना रघुनाथं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्तांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धौ दीनबन्धौ जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभांसुते देवी प्रणमामि श्रीहरिप्रिये पाञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे इज द बिगिनिंग डे ऑफ बीइंग रेगुलेटेड इन योर वाउज दैट यू विल बी टेकिंग एंड एक्सिक्यूशन ऑफ योर डिवोशनल process. This regulation in the form of a vow is very important for every devotee, whether initiated or uninitiated, especially in the month of Kartik. Month of Kartik is for the vows. You can take various kinds of vows, but they are simply targeting to please Lord Krishna. These vows are very important because it shows determination. If you do not take vow, then you will not get the confirmation of your determined mind. So, the process of devotional service also demands very confirmed mind so he can progress without any hindrances towards the goal, that is, go back home, back to God. So this is the beginning process. To initiate means to begin. Don't think it is the end. Beginning. But well begun is half done. So therefore vows means a determined effort to begin with will be almost equivalent to half done. But we have to be always remain aware of what we have learned during all this time in a preliminary aspect of acknowledgement of our devotional service. So now we become committed. So this commitment you will be taking in front of the deity, in front of the fire sacrifice, because all your sadhana should become sacrifice. The vow is also meant for sacrifice, for reconfirmation of what we have already promised before. So, in front of spiritual master and the devotees, naturally that will be our resources. And the yajna and the deity are the subject matter of our meditation. But our association with the devotees, so in front of devotee, the guru, and then yajna and ultimately the deity, this becomes the conveyance of our. So it will reach to the desired target. Now, amongst the association of the deities, you know, that the devotees and the guru. Our practice or the sadhana that you will be taking through a promise, that will give you a practical example of a progress. Goal is yajna, and ultimately go back home, back to God. Yajna must be performed, because it will free you from the bondage of any physical activity of sadhana or mental activity. It will remove the effect of three modes. And because yajna is the pure representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so the vows become the conveyance for your purified desire through the mind activity and words that you will be performing. That will be offered as a sacrifice. We generally say even Hare Krishna Mahamantra is to be offered as a sacrifice. So ultimately, the holy name is the medium for us to get connected with the Supreme Personality of God. But your determined vow will also determine that how fast you can progress. So, amongst the devotees, in your sadhana, you have to be aware of the efficacy of the holy name. That holy name itself is the medium. This is the only means to be purified and go back home, back to God. It is identical. Now, at each other level, Krishna, Radha Krishna, they are in the deity form which are no different than the original personality of Godhead. They are far away to be achieved. But nonetheless, they are the ultimate recipient of your sacrifices. So they acknowledge and call you. This is our destination. So we have to remain very, very cautious about the service to the holy name that you will be taking in form of chanting 16 rounds. Now, a determined effort is well-disciplined. Then just take it on a mental platform. So, the vows are also taking so much important role in our sadhana. And if you take in karma, it will be multiplying, in the result. Kartik is that much more. There is no other importance in the month of Kartik, because simultaneously all the functions are related. They come as festivals. Kartik is saturated with festivals. And you can take varieties of the vows. But the fundamental aspect that we have to take the vow, to commit ourselves in chanting 16 rounds and four regulative principles. Generally, we know that this comprises our process, which is of Bhagavad Vidhi, and four regulative principles is of the rules of liberation. Bhagavad Vidhi transcends, but the rules of liberation must be followed, because it brings out from the bodily conception of life. Four regulative principles are guaranteeing to bring out from material conception to the spiritual. But that threshold is called liberation. Only in liberation, liberated condition, and the holy name will take us back home, back to God. So, it is customary to know the rules and regulations and especially the rules in Bhagavad Vidhi, there are none. The rules in application in four regulatory principles, they are there. And one has to be regulated both in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra as well as following the four regulatory principles. So regulations are required. Rules, there are no hard and fast rules in chanting. But nonetheless, we have to remain aware of the significance of the holy name, that holy name is going to act. So we must become available as a subservient to the holy name. We are supposed to perform service to holy name, which is equivalent to service to the Supreme Personality of God. So here we are supposed to understand the efficacy of the holy name. Holy name is a manifestation of the Sandini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Sandini potency is the first of the internal potency. There are three, the Sandini, Sandit and Ladini. But existential potency, which Balaram manifests, and it manifests the holy dham, Krishna's abode. Even the beautiful form is to be understood on the basis of Sandini potency. The manifestation of the material world is also the transformation of Sandini potency for the creation purpose. Creation, maintenance and annihilation is conducted through Anantashesh, who is nothing but expansion of Lord Balaram. So Balaram teaches also. So Sandhya potency is also embedded in him. These two provides the proof that it is not a whimsical thing, because everything is manifested through the potency. So similarly, holy name is also manifested through the existential potency of Balaram. All the avatars are being manifested through that potency. If material world is created through the existential potency because it exists for some time, it gives a proof for the spiritual manifestation, which is forever. It has been ever there. So Lord Krishna's Sandini potency is forever and it is ever manifested. So Haridas Thakur in Harinam Chintamani gives that as a proof that the Lord exists through the existential potency called Sat. The mode of existence potency is called Sat. The mode of Sandini potency is called Chit. And the mode of Ladini potency is Ananda. So Balaram takes care of manifestation as well as proof through knowledge. And purpose, or the ultimate prayojan, is for the Lord's own pleasure. Ladini potency takes care of Balaram. In between, it's also said that chit potency or samvit potency is Saraswati, but she doesn't come out from the heart of Lord Krishna. She always stays there. Lakshmi doesn't have place in the heart, but on the heart, that is the chest. That is the external, of course, she is also transcendental, but she has a place outside the heart of Lord Narayan. The Sandini potency and Sambit potency both are being conveyed through the agency of Balaram. Then similarly, Samvit potency also combined with Ladini potency, Radharani. So Saraswati and Radharani also have good friendship. Right? But that manifests in the process of bhakti. So we call Bhakti Devi the manifestation of Samvit potency and Ladini potency. So now the holy name is acting as the medium and making us realize that through chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare,
we become knowledgeable also and also get internal pleasure. So holy name takes so much importance and an efficient medium to realize God. Efficient medium. So efficiency has to be understood. That is Haridas Thakur's proposal. When we do not know the efficiency of the holy name, then it becomes a kind of mental acceptance. Oh, we know every Shastra, even in other denominations, they depend upon the holy name to make progress. Right? And every denomination is every other religion also. They all take up a process more or less about the holy name. Everyone carries a rosary. Muslims also call. And atheists and Buddhists also chant Buddha's names. But if you want to take the fullest advantage of this medium, then you must know. And Haridas Thakur will reveal every detail that what a complacency in chanting the holy name that we have. How can it be eradicated? So, efficacy means the knowledge aspect of the holy name must be. If we are ignorant, then over and over, remaining ignorant creates into some anarthas. It develops into accepting the things which are not necessary in our life. How does this bad habits or other things are created? First of all, Jiva was envious, and yet he became avarice to the process of his own salvation. So he ends up into accepting which are not wanted for his benefit, and yet it becomes a so-called conditioning. He cannot leave aside, because ignorance causes anarthas. Ignorance causes anarthas, and anarthas will cause anarthas. So Haridas Thakur warns us that when we are serving the holy name through chanting, when we engage all of our five senses, then we must be aware of all the three aspects of the holy name to remain protected. So the mercy will be bestowed upon them only. The mercy comes through Bhakti Devi. So it is advisable that however you chant, no hard and fast rule. Holy name has all the potency. But if you take the holy name in the service attitude, then sevanam mukhehi jivado svayam svarte nevarte. If we take the holy name as a service, you know, through the jiva tongue, then it will reveal its own potency. If we are not taking chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a service to the holy, remain still ignorant, then Bahujan Mayari Kavishwara Kirtana Padutana Pai Krishna Pade Prema Dhana. However, you keep on chanting for ages and ages, yet the ultimate goal of life, which is the prayojan of love of Godhead, will not be able to achieve. So, this is important. Generally, we enumerate the 10 offenses in order to make the advancement. That how one will be really benefited by his service to the holy name, that he is taking a vow to chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra a day. How he should be regulated, disciplined. A servant has to be first of all disciplined. He should know his position, he should know the position of his master. He cannot deviate from this discipline. Otherwise, the goal will be completely untargeted. It will be diffused somewhere. Your missile will not be in a correct trajectory or the ultimate aim. So, chanting of the holy name as a service will remove all the ignorance, will remove all the unearthed, unwanted things in our lives, and definitely will also remove all the apparatus. But we have to learn. So, we daily recite in order to remember. For that purpose, then we should not remain ignorant of it. So, Haridas Thakur explains that there are 10 offenses. The first and foremost offense is to blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated his life in propagating the holy name of the Lord. It comes from sheer enviousness of Krishna. By the envious desire to lord it over, which was the first and foremost offense to Lord Krishna, the living entity fell off from his position, from the Vrindavan itself, from the spiritual realm. Icha, gracious Muthena, Vanda, Mohena, Bharata, Sarva Bhutani, Sammoham, Sargayanti, Parantapa. Without any exception, all the living entities came into the process of creation, sustenance, and dissolution simply out of a separate desire to lord it over, which was arisen by an element of hate simultaneously. Paved the way of degradation from his position. So it means once we have the position, the original Swarupa Siddhi, that is the position. And when we remain aware of this particular offense, that should be avoided by any means. Because there is no solution through the holy name. Unless and until Vaishnava, whom we offended, forgives us. And one, if Vaishnava must forgive, if you cannot forgive your friend, if he has pushed you and make you hurt, but Don't try to punish or fight with him. A Vaishnava never fights back. And Vaishnava is always forgiving because Krishna is forgiving. He is trying to go back home, back to Godhead. So he has to make sure that that is the nature. Otherwise he will commit offense again. Right? A Vaishnava who has been offended does not forgive, means he is also committing an offense. And he cannot hold any grudge. And that we have to learn in this call. You can be pushed out without reason. Okay, Prabhu, thank you very much. Do not kick me out from your lotus feet. That should be the attitude. So Vaishnava Aparad is very, very grave. Right? To blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated his life and propagating the holy name, he can only propagate the holy name if he doesn't have a grudge against anybody who are all part and parcel of Krishna. They may be in fallen condition, but you were also fallen. Why should you have a grudge? A fallen person cannot help other fallen person. But when you are a Vaishnava, you have been given opportunity to have compassion on others. So why should we have grudge? But to commit an offense at the lotus feet, even the holy name is not going to spare you. You can't chant Hare Krishna and counteract the offense. However great one may be, or doing the service, going to the Lord directly or indirectly. Such a person, if he commits, however powerful he may be, he will not be spared. Durvasa Muni, you can imagine Durvasa Muni, what a powerful personality he is. He is also one of the agents of Krishna. But to show the example, Muni, his mental makeup is so strong that it cannot be disturbed. But it may not be at the lotus feet of the Lord. Maybe to his own self-status of being a great achiever. He's a great meditator, he's a great sadhu, he has obtained all the siddhis, so he can travel anywhere, you know, like that. But these are all physical perfections. He happened to offend Ambarish Maharaj, who has faultless Vaishnava. Was not spared. He understood. Even he went from Brahma to Lord Shiva to Vishnu. You know, he has audience with the Lord, yet he was not spared. Krishna can absorb all offenses. Because he is transcendental. And he knows that his children are ignorant but nonsense, but he tolerates. So however they are, his compassion is unfathomable. And similar compassion is being carried by a devotee. So Supreme Lord, no difference, how is he going to tolerate the inconvenience caused to such a great Vaishnava? Even harsh words are not to be used. One should not commit an offense through mind, words, or action. One should not. That is the, at least physical offense should not be there, mental offense should not be there, and by the words it should not. We can control at least two aspects, the physical offense and words. But mental offense, how do we know? But it can be subsided within the mental sphere itself without exposing through words and activity. But he should not keep on thinking, otherwise he is really in a mental condition. One needs to go to a psychiatric to subside it, otherwise I'll forget it. Anyway, but the offense is an offense and has no remedy except that Vaishnava forgive. For this, there are so many imitative devices been created. You will see, you will understand that an offense will be purposely created, but immediately they will beg the forgiveness. They will serve the purpose by committing an offense. It's called politics. In politics, they will create a purpose offense, but immediately they know. They will beg the forgiveness. That's a trick. And that is a united trick. People do like that. But, you know, an offense is offense. Knowingly or unknowingly, if one commits, and unless and until the Vaishnava forgives. But it's a very trying time for an offended person. If he is not ready to forgive them and keeps on grudge, his devotional service will be also checked. So an offense against offense is not going to nullify. So otherwise, it's a political issue. Even GBC cannot resolve. So we have to be aware. You can't complain. If you complain, means you have politics going on. And devotees to be so tolerant. How he would be able to allow somebody to trample upon him? That readiness is a revelation. Here, Prabhu, take it. So, that is the maturity one has to develop, because detachment and knowledge that will be coming by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Other offenses starting from 2nd to 10th, they can be all mitigated by chanting Hare Krishna. You do not have to go even to that Vaishnava or anything to convince him. You don't have to go to demigods if you happen to equate their name with name of Vishnu, or tell Lord Vishnu, please forgive me. I did not know your significance. you are stuck there. Many great sages do not know the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Devatas, the demigods. Atreya Anusaya, they did not know. They wanted a son like God himself, but they did not know out of the three who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They wanted Supreme Personality of Godhead to become like their son. So they happened to approach all the three, that you are the greatest, you are the greatest, you are the greatest. And they all came to give a son. He said, I wanted only one son, I'm not triplets. He said, you called us. It is your mistake. Now, since you have enough, you are going to get. So they got three sons. Brahma gave Soma, the moon god. Shivji gave them Durvasana. And Vishnu gave Dattatreya. Dattatreya, even though is an incarnation, but he's not from the main incarnation. It's a subordinate incarnation. Because he reciprocated, and there's that because they did not know who the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he taught them only impersonal philosophy. Impersonal. They never taught of bhakti. Dattatreya himself told that how should you learn all these virtues through different entities. So he also made about 21 gurus or something like that. Similar story comes in Avanti Brahma in 11th canto about he made 24 gurus, all instructive gurus, no initiating gurus, all instructive. So second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Brahma or Shiva to be equal or independent the name of Lord Vishnu. Very great. There are reasons. Haridas Thakur gives solid reasons. But it's a subject matter of Harinam Chintana. The third offense is to disobey the orders of spiritual master. The process is spiritual. The spiritual master has no interest in your material affairs. But if they are entangled, he will have to pull you out from there without entangling you more. Right? Otherwise it will become politics, my spiritual master. If he entangles you more, then it becomes politics. But to pull out from the mess. So, instructions are on the spiritual aspect only. We call material to be practical. But the practical end should be spiritual, not material. The fourth offense, fifth offense, and sixth offense are in line for those who think that material education supersedes anything, including the chanting of Hare Krishna. because we are using the same medium of alphabets, same medium of vocabulary, same medium of language. They think anything other than the direct meaning. So, the Vedas, the Shastras, they give confirmation of the process. So to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version means of the conclusion of the holy name that has been given, then say something, even the author of the Vedas is being blasphemed. The Vyasadeva. Oh, how do you know it has been written by Vyasadeva? Somebody, you know, other than, they call Bhopadeva, must have written. They try to become rationalists without having any iota what they are talking about. So, it's an offense on the holy name, because ultimate conclusion is ending in the holy name alone. This is how the Shastras have gradually developed through the maturity Vyasadeva was getting into. Vyasadeva did not receive directly the Vedic knowledge, even though he appeared like an incarnation, literary incarnation of the Lord. Nonetheless, he received the potency. He became the foreseer, but he had to recompile. In other words, for the ultimate goal of life, the other literatures become redundant, except the conclusive literatures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasa. So we stick on to that only. We do not need much reference because it is in continuation. We ask them to rewrite. So Srimad Bhagavatam was the ultimate compilation, but he removed all the effects of the three modes of material nature. Otherwise, story remains the same. In Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, there's so many Sattvic Purana. The same story over and over again. Same understanding for creation, sustenance and dissolution. Three sarga. Right? That is the subject of Purana. All the Puranas, they have a definition. What is called a Purana? The Purana must describe the creation of its theory. Why it is to be repeated in all 18 Puranas? In Srimad Bhagavatam, the effect of the three modes of material nature has been totally nullified. And transcendental mode of Satchidananda has been invested. In other Puranas, they are mixed. So you cannot find out the real crux of it. Nonetheless, the Vedic conclusion is available. So to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version is an offense. Conclusion is coming in the Vedic version. It's not different. So you cannot offend the Shastras. They must be written by some ordinary man. Give us a break, Prabhu. We have to refer. So, fifth offense similarly, to create an imaginary situation. Chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is an imagination. Imagine means you don't need any reference. When you give reference, then you nullify the imagination. But they think it's an imagination. Mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo gives the same result as chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. As a merit. We said, why mumbo jumbo? Chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. It will be poured in your mouth. But chant Hare Krishna. And it will create that desired effect. That's for sure. That's guaranteed. And that is coming with the reference, recommendation, and ultimate goal in this particular age. So, that is there. So similarly, the sixth offense, to give some mundane interpretation to the holy name. Those who are having that material education think that, because they become proud of it. Janma Aishwarya Sruta Sri Ghi. Sruta means learned. And they think, this language is similar to what I have learned. I am mastered, I got high score. So therefore, I can start interpreting. Oh, there is some grammatical mistake. Oh, there is it. So it should not mean that. It should mean this way. So, Shastras being interpreted, or even chanting of the holy name is interpreted. Prabhupada gave us the meaning of chanting, and somebody start putting other meaning in the mouth of somebody. Why should we interpret? The potency is in the holy name, and that holy name has been conveyed by a pure devotee to carry the compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we may go back home back to God. It cannot be interpreted. Just like not a word can be changed, so no interpretation. So I say, as it is. Try to speak as it is. Explain in a way to convey as it is. But do not deviate. Seventh offense is to commit simple activities on the strength of the holy name. That is also coinciding with the tenth offense. That to maintain material attachment, even after understanding the efficacy, so many times it has been true. In every initiation we have to repeat the same thing over and over again. And we tell the devotees to chant 10 offenses every day also, just to keep yourself aware as a warning. Be aware before you start chanting. Be aware. Bahu janma yadi karesho. And then there are 10 offenses in chanting. We chant. That be awareness is there. So, even after understanding the significance of the holy name so many times, but we keep the material attachment, then it comes under that knowingly we commit offense on the strength of the holy name. Right? So they are the effect of the holy name as it is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajita Janatyasu Gyanam Vairagya Ahituki. Ahituki Gyan and Vairagya. Ahituki means causeless. Knowledge. Knowledge about Krishna, who is the cause of all causes. There is no cause for him. Therefore, his knowledge is causeless. So, Ahituki Gyan and Vairagya. Detachment from the worldly matter definitely comes. If we are serious and committed to the process of bhakti, which is perfect. So, and number ninth, and number eighth is to consider chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra to be one of the ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as karma kanda. Chanting is a service to the holy name. It's meant only for the pleasure of the Lord, not for your pleasure. Oh, I love to chant. I get good peace of mind. Oh, I become happy when I chant. Okay. It's initiative. But after all, it's not that you have to become happy. To chant is a yajna, big sacrifice, and you have to manage your 16 rounds through your busy schedule. It's not an ordinary thing. If you are pleasure seeking, then you better give up everything other than chanting and just sit in the corner. You go, Babaji. But it becomes a great sacrifice to please the Lord, right? And that is better rewarding. But that reward should be in the pleasure of the Lord, need more our pleasure, because we are voluntarily taking this vow, vrata, austerity. Because it's the supreme truth. The chanting is the supreme truth. It is yielding the results of Satya Yoga, even Trita Yoga, because it's the greatest sacrifice. Yajnanam japayogyasmi. And it is the greatest charity if you spread the holy name, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy.
I be happy.
But is Krishna happy? Then you can become happy. Your happiness has to be offered to Krishna as service. So let Krishna be happy, so in turn you will be reflected with happiness. You will be given as a prasada the happiness. We take the process of chanting as service to Lord. It's not a ritualistic ceremony for my benefit, or I'm chanting for your benefit. Of course, let my spiritual upliftment be there. I will accept your gift of chanting your extra round. Please chant for me, we say. What can I do? My spiritual master will say, please chant. Yes, why not? That I may be spiritually uplifted. So, number ninth offense is to instruct the glories of the Holy Name to a faithless person. It's just like putting the seed on a stone surface and simply water and let it drain, it would not grow. There is no fertile ground. The fertile ground is prepared by our voluntary acceptance of four regulative principles. You can't chant and tell, can I have a cup of tea? Please refrain. Because chanting is having the first effect to put you on the threshold of transcendence. So that threshold is called mukti, liberation. And chanting is giving you liberation, but you want to still confine in a cup of tea. Your consciousness is not on the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the transcendental realm. But your consciousness, even in chanting, remains in a cup of tea. only controversial, but highly deplorable. Highly deplorable. So we have to understand in this way the ten offenses which become like a stumbling blocks in our progress of devotional service. So, you are ready? Pay your obeisance to the deity, the yajna, the spiritual master, and the devotees. Dhaval kacha. Kacha means unripe. Now he will become paka. He will be right. Right? Hare Krishna. You've been waiting for long, huh? I'll put you in short. What are the four regulatory principles that you are promising?
No meditating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex.
Yeah. And you promised to chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day without fail.
Yes,
please chant 25. Little bonus on the Kadashis. And make a double